Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking about open space in Southern California with my guest, Melanie Schlotterbeck. She is the conservation consultant for Hills for Everyone. She is a lead for Southland Power and Nature, and she is a member of the 30 by 30 Partnership Coordinating Committee of the California Natural Resources Agency. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
You have been very involved with your family for decades trying to save wilderness areas, particularly in the San Bernardino, Los Angeles, Orange, and Riverside counties. So far, you have been very successful in getting over 19,000 acres protected in perpetuity. But let's start with the area that I know your mother worked on in the 1970s to try and save the Puente Chino Hills and was successful in creating the Chino Hills State Park. I passed through the Chino Hills on the 57 freeway near the 91 freeway and the 60 freeway, but tell us exactly where it is and why it's such an important ecosystem and wildlife corridor.
Great question. The Puente Chino Hills Wildlife Corridor sits between the 60 and 605 freeway up in Whittier and runs all the way down to the 71 and 91 freeway near Corona. So it actually is where Southern California comes together. You mentioned San Bernardino, Riverside, Los Angeles, and Orange County. This hillside system, 31 miles long, extends through all of those geographies. What's really important to note is that the efforts to protect this wildlife corridor receiving national recognition, especially because of mountain lions like P22. It's important to also note that we are in a hot spot of biodiversity, so the threat to really critical plants and animals that are important to sustaining life on Earth are present in this ecosystem, but they're threatened with development. So sometimes we face an uphill battle.
When we walk through the state park, what does it look like?
Chino Hills State Park has one road in that's paved called Bain Canyon Road, and you get incredible views of steep and sometimes gently rolling slopes. Right now, they're covered in green grass, and there's also coastal sage scrub and oak trees and sycamore trees that line some of the canyons. There's willow trees that stand in the riparian areas where the creeks are located. And the state park has about 90 miles of trails, so you can wind your way through valleys and ridges, get great views of Southern California and the snow-capped mountains, or sign up for a night or two camping at the state park. That's an option as well.
Since this is radio, we can't see the beautiful area of the Chino State Park. Where can we find the pictures if we can't get out there right away and enjoy it? What does it really look like?
Right now, because we had early rains, Chino Hills State Park and the Puente Hills Preserve are in their gorgeous winter coat of green, and wildflowers will be coming soon. Photographs are available on the hillsforeveryone.org website. We have a gallery. You can learn about species, landscapes that are protected, landscapes that are threatened, as well as wildflowers. And I would encourage everyone, if you are going to visit a park anywhere and visit the wildflowers, do not pick them, do not stand in them, do not cut trails to them, and make sure you're protecting the ecosystems. We want those wildflowers to be successful and seed in future years, and if we trample them, they will not.
You mentioned P22, a mountain lion in Griffith Park area that was recently euthanized, but was able to cross a freeway into a new habitat. That is why it's so important that when freeways and housing tracts and other development passes through wild areas that we create wildlife corridors. How do the animals go from one place to another?
Well, P-22 crossed many lanes of several freeways, and for the Pointe-Chino Hills Wildlife Corridor, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, Hills for Everyone, my mom Claire Schlatterbeck, along with California Department of Parks and Recreation, they understood and learned about this new field of emerging science called conservation biology. And so the goal became to connect Chino Hills State Park to the Santa Ana Mountains. And State Parks ended up aligning its interests with several other funders to create California's first wildlife corridor purchase at Coal Canyon, which is now part of Chino Hills State Park. So it is an underpass that allows animals in the Santa Ana Mountains or Chino Hills State Park to walk under the freeway to get to new habitat areas. And our goal is to make sure that that wildlife connectivity remains intact for the entire 31 miles.
Tell us more about the Coal Canyon Biological Corridor that was created in 2000. Do scientists know how many animals are going in that underpass?
Well, unfortunately, there's some road work and continued staging for other projects in the area, and that seems to be deterring some wildlife from using that corridor. But it's also incredibly important to note that different wildlife have different needs as it relates to corridors. Amphibians would need water. Deer need line of sight and light so that they can see potential predators, whereas predators may like to have brush so that they can hide behind something for attacking their next meal. While improvements have been made at Coal Canyon, there's still some struggles with getting wildlife to use it, but it does provide an opportunity for animals to escape in emergencies, such as the Blue Ridge fire that burned the state park in 2020. Animals can move east towards the Prado Basin or south towards the Cleveland National Forest and the Santa Ana Mountains. So we're working on improving what was protected to make sure it's functional, but we do have partnerships with Cal Fish and Wildlife, Caltrans, and state parks, as well as USGS, to watch what animals may be using this corridor. So game cameras are placed in specific locations and have captured recently, even in the last few weeks, photographs of mountain lions.
The state park was created. Are there lands next to the state park that belong to the counties, to the city, to the federal government that should be protected also?
There are actually multiple jurisdictions that own lands adjacent to Chino Hills State Park. For example, the Orange County Transportation Authority has an environmental mitigation program, and they have about 300 acres in Carbon Canyon in eastern Brea that abut the state park. There's also property presently owned by the Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority on the eastern side of Chino Hills State Park. And the goal is to get those lands transferred over to state parks. There's also some conservation easements and mitigation lands that are in private ownership. So all of these land ownerships and managers play into the success and ultimate reserve system of protected open spaces in this region.
Is most of the open space that's left in various governmental agencies' ownership, or do companies, developers own a lot of acreage and want to build housing and other kinds of commercial operations?
There are several projects that are proposed to move forward that will threaten the integrity of the wildlife corridor. For example, the County of Orange has proposed roadway expansion at Brea Canyon Road in county territory and city of Brea territory that will functionally eliminate the ability of wildlife to move from one area of the Chino Hills into the Pointe Hills. And that is 20,000 acres of land or more that have been saved for this wildlife corridor, and over $220 million invested to buy and restore these lands that will be jeopardized because of this roadway expansion. So we're still on the watch trying to protect the lands that have been saved, but we do also continue to acquire lands, whether it's to build on Chino Hills State Parks land base or lands in the Puente Hills, which are owned and or managed by the Puente Hills Habitat Authority. And the key area is what we call the missing middle. And that's 3,000 acres owned by a company called Era Energy. And they did have a development proposed on that particular location previously, but they withdrew their application in the last year or so. So nothing's proposed at the moment, but it's the backdrop for North Orange County and for the San Gabriel Valley.
With the nonprofit organization Friends of Harbors, Beaches, and Parks, you actually mapped all the undeveloped, unprotected natural lands available in and around Orange County, and you presented that to the state with support from more than 30 different conservation and community groups. That's a massive undertaking. How long did it take? How many miles did you hike? Because there are apparently over 275 properties available for conservation, totaling over 30,000 acres.
That's right. So the state of California has, through Governor Newsom, implemented a goal called 30 by 30. And that goal is to protect 30% of California's lands and waters by 2030. This is not just something that California is doing. It is both a local, a national, and an international effort, with the ultimate goal of protecting 50% of the planet by 2050. So in California, the process was unfolding over the last couple years to advance projects in regions. And that's how I ended up getting involved through Hills for Everyone with the Power in Nature Coalition, which unites community groups, nonprofits, tribes, social equity, environmental justice groups throughout the Southland region, which spans Ventura, LA, Orange, and then the western portions of San Bernardino and Riverside counties. And the partnership between Friends of Harbors, Beaches, and Parks and Hills for Everyone has been in existence for a long time, mainly because I work with both organizations. And the Friends group has this map called the Green Vision Map. And it documents protected open spaces, as well as lands that could be protected or those that have a threat, like a development project, an infrastructure project, et cetera. So the map already existed, but what I ended up doing in partnership with Hills for Everyone through Friends of Harbors, Beaches, and Parks was updating that map and getting an endorsement from the groups that support the map to submit possibilities to the state in order to achieve 30 by 30. So we wanted to prove that we had land available in Orange County and around Orange County that most people don't think there's land still available to protect. But my research and my mapping shows that we have 30,000 acres available to protect. And in fact, before this interview, I had a phone call with a property owner who found his property on the map and called and said, I'm interested in selling. So there's absolutely a benefit to the work both organizations are doing.
It's fantastic work, but I am curious about your background. Are you a biologist? Are you a geographer or just a conservation activist who learned to do mapping? Did you use drones? Did you walk trails? Did you walk unmarked areas? How did you do all that?
That's a great question. So my mom founded Chino Hills State Park, and I was 4 when she joined the board of Hills for Everyone and ultimately became its president and now executive director. So I have been engaged in the conservation landscape for a long time. So I'm 47. I was involved in everything from press events to licking stamps back in the day when you had to do that, to campaigns, because elections matter in terms of who we vote into office and whether or not our lands and waters are protected. So I got a very early introduction, but I did not know growing up that this was a career that you could make for yourself. I always thought I was going to be limited to the standard choices of teacher or doctor or nurse, etc. And I ended up going to school locally at Cal State Fullerton and got a degree in geography with an emphasis in environmental analysis. I took a year off and did an internship at Grand Canyon National Park in their engineering department. So I got some real-world hands-on experience in a wonderful and beautiful park setting, and then went back for my master's degree in environmental science at Cal State Fullerton again. And I happened to be involved in the geography department right at the cusp of when it transitioned from hand-drawn maps to digital maps. So I was the last class of hand-drawn maps and the first class of digital maps. And one of the best introductions into my career was the purchase of that software from a company out in Redlands called ESRI that allows me to continue that digital mapping work. And my dad bought me the software and my mom trained me how to do conservation. So between the two of them, I have launched my career and have been able to maintain great conservation wins.
And you certainly are doing good conservation work, and we're going to talk more about the open space areas in the Orange County, Los Angeles, Riverside, San Bernardino area when we return in a moment with my guest, Melanie Schlotterbeck.
Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman continues with further discussion of the world's critical ecological issues. For more information, you may call 310-559-9160 or go to www.ecoprojects.org. Now, here's Nancy.
I'm speaking with Melanie Schlotterbeck. She is a conservation consultant for Hills for Everyone and is involved with many other organizations. She has also received numerous awards, including the Woman of the Distinction for the Environment from Senator Ling Ling Chang, and also the Land Use, Open Space, and Smart Growth Achievement Award from Environment Now. Because of your work, you were appointed to be a member of the 30 by 30 Partnership Coordinating Committee of the California Natural Resources Agency. You mentioned the goal in California called 30 by 30. Let's discuss more what the 30 by 30 means.
Absolutely. The goal of 30 by 30, as I mentioned, was protecting 30% of California's lands and waters, and it extends from the local up to the international level. And California has devised a plan called the Pathways to 30 by 30, and it's available on the California Nature website that the state operates through the California Natural Resource Agency. There are 10 pathways identified in that document that covered the different tools that organizations, agencies, land trusts, et cetera, can use to implement 30 by 30. So a few examples would be regionally led conservation. That's something that Hills for Everyone has been doing as it relates to acquisitions next to Chino Hills State Park. Another example is advanced mitigation. That's where infrastructure and housing projects can bundle their project impacts and bundle the projects in order to mitigate them more thoughtfully and comprehensively. This saves time, money, staff costs, and gets projects done sooner. But the benefit to the environment is that you have large-scale acquisition, restoration, and management potential versus the way it's normally done on a project-by-project basis. So because I have direct experience with several of the pathways and happen to run multiple coalitions in Southern California, I decided to put my hat into the ring to be considered, and thankfully was chosen to represent Southern California. And I was selected as one of 18 members serving on the 30 by 30 Partnership Coordinating Committee with several state agencies, as well as other nonprofits up and down the state.
The agency has determined that there are over 6 million acres of land and 500,000 acres of coastal waters that should be, and conservationists say must be, protected within the next 7 years. But yet, California has an extensive number of different kinds of ecosystems, from the coastal waters to the deserts to the mountains. In the area that we've been talking about in the Puente Chino Hills, it's hills, not quite mountains. What kind of ecosystem is there, and how many acres are there, and how unique is that system?
One of the more unique habitat types in the Puente Chino Hills Wildlife Corridor that has not received a lot of protection are California black walnuts. And so that's a species that we focus on to ensure protection locally. There are also riparian areas, wetlands, coastal sage scrub, and chaparral. And quite a few of those habitats include species that either are threatened or endangered from the California or National Endangered Species Act. So that means resource agencies like the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, who are tasked with overseeing the protection of these endangered species, they're interested in having lands protected to ensure the survival of those species. So ultimately, we are aligning the work of agencies and nonprofits to meet the goal of 30 by 30.
We've been talking about open space in an area that has been massively developed. I grew up in Orange County when it was agriculture and when it was orange and walnut groves, but yet housing tracts and commercial development, freeways have overtaken the area. So now we have some open space surrounded by human activity. We have open space in an urban area. How does that differ than from open space in a rural area or in areas where humans haven't done a lot of development?
So there are different levels of access that can be granted on different landscapes. For example, in the state park system, there are natural reserves that are set aside for limited public use. And then there are parks that have more access involved and could be located in a more urban setting like a city. And maybe there's soccer fields, baseball fields, or basketball courts. So different parks serve different communities and different habitat and species requirements. Some of the goals of 30 by 30, the three priorities, include protecting biodiversity, creating climate-resilient landscapes, and providing equitable access to parks. So in Southern California, the Puente Chino Hills specifically, it's surrounded by 18 million people. There are a lot of folks that access these lands in order to recreate. And there's a balance that needs to be found to ensure that the reasons the lands were protected, for example, if they're mitigation for a freeway project, that those habitats and species are protected in perpetuity and are not overrun by trails or human presence. So the key is going to be balance.
In the open space areas, there is wildlife, flora and fauna that is not endangered and some which are endangered. Have there been biological and botanical counts to determine how many species there are, from the insects to the mammals to the trees and shrubs and flowers?
It depends on the location. U.S. Geological Survey has done some large mammal surveys as well as amphibian and reptile surveys. And then, of course, as development projects are proposed, biological surveys are required at that time. But some of the unique species that we have here would include the Southern California subspecies of mountain lion, which is genetically distinct from other populations in the state, and it's presently on the candidate list for the California Endangered Species Act. We also have the intermediate Mariposa lily, which is a gorgeous and delicate flower. There are birds. A lot of people have heard about the California gnatcatcher or the leafspelled vireo. There's also golden eagles in our hills. Some of the reptiles could include the western spadefoot toad, as well as western pond turtles.
Because the open space is surrounded by humans, there are sometimes unfortunate interactions. Humans too often use pesticides and other chemicals to control pests on their lands, and the wildlife is getting poisoned. Is that a major threat or just one of the threats?
It is just one of the threats, unfortunately, but let me tell you an important thing about Chino Hills State Park. Dave Myers, the founder of Hills for Everyone and designer of Chino Hills State Park, had this concept that had never really been employed before in the creation of a park, and that was to design the park around ridgeline boundaries. So once you were inside Chino Hills State Park, because all the ridge lines were saved, you had no idea at the time 9 million people surrounded the park. Now it's 18 or 19 million. That protection of the ridge lines allows the visitors to not only get a sense of true wilderness, but it also protects the watershed. So you won't have oils and pesticides and toxins leaking into the watershed because the entire watershed is protected. That said, animals move. And so we do have issues with people putting pesticides out that a rat may eat, for example, and then an owl eats the rat and it works its way up the food chain. So those harms and toxins still exist broadly, and I would encourage folks to do homework on how to live with wildlife, especially if you're at the wildland urban interface.
It's so important to have those ridge lines cleared and wild, because so many other parks, you look up on the ridge and there are the houses, whether or not it's in Newport Back Bay area or the Santa Monica Mountains. I love hiking through the Chino Hills area and feeling as though I'm in the wild and I'm just so close to the city. It's wonderful. We know that there are approximately 275 properties, about 30,000 acres, that need to be protected. How do we go about doing that?
That's a great question. 1 acre at a time is the answer. The state budget includes more money for conservation right now than has ever been available in previous budgets. But I do want to reiterate that this is simply a down payment. It's more than just this year that money will be needed in order to implement 30 by 30. So if you know of a property that's in need of protection, reach out to your local land trust or a conservation nonprofit in your area and encourage them to take proactive steps to get that protected. And of course, there's a process where a willing seller is needed. Nothing is acquired through eminent domain. An appraisal would need to happen, an environmental assessment of potential toxins on the site, as well as a lot of legal agreements and contracts. And then it needs to go through a process at the state, assuming state money is used. And then somebody needs to be willing to own and manage those lands in perpetuity. We don't just buy lands to protect them for a year. It's an ongoing investment. And that's why it's important to pay your park entrance fees, is because those dollars get reused at the park that you are actively recreating in.
It's a great place to recreate. There are 19,000 acres protected in the Chino Hills State Park, but on the docket this year is a proposal to protect 730 more acres. Is that California legislation that's required?
It's not actually legislation. The 730 acres that's on the docket for this year are actually some of the eastern ridge lines of Chino Hills State Park. So the important aspect there is that we're completing a vision that started more than 40 years ago. And we're still finalizing the details on that, but Hills for Everyone is working closely with the Department of Parks and Recreation, the Conservation Fund, the landowner, and the Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority to get that property in public ownership and then over into state parks' hands. And then the eastern ridge lines will be secure. So that watershed protection and viewshed protection that I spoke about earlier are going to be permanently protected, which is a big deal. My mom started this when I was 4, and we're finally getting it done more than 40 years later.
Obviously, these efforts are ongoing and take a long, long time and dedication by activists such as yourself, your mother, and the other environmentalists and conservationists over the last few decades. Thank you so very much for your good work. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
I have been speaking with Melanie Schlotterbeck, who is the conservation consultant for Hills for Everyone and the lead for Southland Power in Nature. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.